T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, let's dive right in. 7 o'clock hour coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll bring in Polo Asensio, the Spanish language broadcast with Benji Molina. They do a fantastic job. I love talking ball with Polo. So we'll catch up with Polo here in a few minutes. Before and after that, I want to continue to talk a little bit about this idea of, you know, banning or limiting the shift and whether or not it's going to matter. And really, to me, the issue here is not the problem here is we got to get away from this idea that there are philosophical things that you should never do, right? I keep hearing this from some baseball fans, like, you shouldn't limit where the defense plays. They don't limit how the defense plays in football. They don't tell you can't blitz or you can't overload one side or the other. But again, you're making the wrong comparison. The play starts in football on the offensive side. Therefore, all of the limitations that are in place regarding formation, motion, and all of that, they're all on the offensive side, right? You can't have too many people moving. You can't be moving forward at the snap. You can't have too few people on the line of scrimmage. You have all these things that are designed to give the reactionary side of the ball a better chance, right? Because in the NFL, defense has to react to the offense initiating the play. They snap the ball, they start the play. In basketball, you've got some defensive limitations there, right? I mean, you've got some things that you can't hand check or whatever, but the reality is a lot of the limitations are on the offensive side. You can't stand in the paint for 3 seconds. If you do, it's a turnover, right? You have a shot clock. You can't hold on to the basketball for 65 seconds. You got a 24-second shot clock in the NBA. And the reason that those limitations are placed on the offense, not the defense there, is that in basketball, the offense initiates the play. They have the basketball. They just inbounded it. And they will determine what happens and when it happens the other way. Now, the defense impacts that. But the reason that there are the limitations on the offense is because, again, they control the play. In baseball, it's the opposite. In baseball, the defense initiates the play. The offense is the reactionary side, which is why any restrictions that would go into place to try to balance the playing field a little bit would be on the defense. Because, again, the defense is the initiator of the action. They have the advantage. This is why pitchers succeed at their jobs far more than hitters do. This is why if you fail 7 times out of 10 as a hitter, you're a really good hitter, right? So that's the frame. That's the framework you have to look at. You can't simply say, well, other sports don't tell us that they can't play defense in a certain way. No, you're right. Because, again, the defense has to react. So they need to be able to have creativity with how they do things. Hitters, offense in baseball is a reactionary thing. So I know that it's offense because it's the part that creates the runs, right? Just like the offense in football creates the points. But you have to look at it in that way to put it in the proper perspective. And in this way, what the rules changes, whatever rules changes they make, I don't know what they're going to be, whether it's the shift or dealing with how you pick off runners and giving runners a better chance at stealing bags. I mean, there's a lot of things that they're experimenting with. But this is why you're trying to benefit the offense, because the offense is what's exciting and fun for the fringy fans, right? For the new fans. You're not playing to the diehards. You have me at hello. I will watch baseball no matter what it looks like. You don't have to please me. What you have to please is the next generation of fans, and also the people that are more casual fans. Those are the people you have to please to improve your business. And you know who recognized that a long time ago? The National Football League. Almost all of their recent rule changes have been so they can create more action on offense, limiting how much the defensive players can touch an offensive player downfield. You can't touch them past 5 yards. It's a penalty. Like, all of these things are to generate more offense. In basketball and hockey, we've seen the same thing. Rules changes or re-emphasis on old rules that loosen the game up, create the fun action. And all of those sports are in pretty good places right now when it comes to offensive production. We cannot look at these things in baseball and say you can't change. You have to evolve. Pitching has evolved to the point where it's not fair to hitters at this stage in history. Pitchers throw harder than they've ever thrown. Breaking pitches are created in laboratories, like literally created in pitching laboratories to be as deceptive as possible to hitters. Hitters face more different pitchers on a day-to-day basis than ever before. Relief pitchers are used far more often. You know, and you talk, people talk about back in the day. Yeah, back in the day, you used to see the starting pitcher 4 times. You might not like it early, but you get a better crack later. You don't get that anymore. You might get 2 cracks at a starting pitcher unless he's really kicking butt, and then you're getting a 3rd crack at a guy that's kicking butt. Everything is different about pitching. They throw harder. They have better breaking balls. They're used differently and more aggressively, and you have to respond, because waiting for it to happen or yelling at hitters to go the other way isn't going to fix the problem. It's not going to happen. You can suggest that a hitter goes the other way, but he doesn't have to do it. What you need are rules that will help us get more action without relying on hitters doing something that will actually result in them being paid less, because power pays, and that's why hitters try to hit home runs. All right, we'll get more into this a little bit later on. We're going to talk some Cardinals with Polo Asensio coming up in a couple of minutes here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm. Because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Great to be back with you on KMOX. We don't have any more baseball for you tonight or tomorrow. I mean, like games. We'll get back to baseball game action coming up on Friday night. Of course, 7:15 for the first pitch. We'll have the game for you here on KMOX. And our next guest will have the game on 880 La Tremenda. That is, of course, Polo Asensio and his partner Benji Molina on the Spanish language broadcast. And Benji, I'm sorry, yeah, Polo, first of all, thank you, man. I love it when we get a chance to talk baseball. I appreciate you doing this. And I will say right out of the gate, one of my big regrets as a guy that loves baseball is that When I was young, I took a foreign language. I took French. I should have taken Spanish, man. I mean, if I had known then what I know now, I would have done that from the beginning and been much better off in the world of baseball.
Believe me, Kevin. Sometimes I don't think that I know Spanish. You know, don't worry about it. You know, sometimes I listen to my calls and I'm like, what did I say? What was I trying to say? But it's all good. It's all good. It's fun. And thank you, man. Like you said, we didn't do this enough. And then again, we don't do it enough because there's Cardinals baseball. Hopefully,
yeah.
during the off season, I'm pretty sure we have plenty of time to talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. I mean, we can talk baseball. We can talk food. We can talk anything. We can talk weather. Right now, I'm here in California where I live. I'm flying in tomorrow. You know, like everybody else, I'm enjoying the Austin break. And I'm flying in tomorrow to San Luis. The weather right now, it's about 70 degrees and sunny here in beautiful Carpinteria, California.
Nice.
And I know tomorrow when I land in San Luis, it's probably going to be raining. And I love it, and that's the way it is, man. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, well, looking forward to getting it going again. What have you been doing with the All-Star break? Did you get into the event this year? Because normally, like lately, I've been getting less and less into like the Home Run Derby and all that. But this year, I was into it, man. I was excited about it.
You know, I was into it. You know what I really liked? I liked the beginning of this All-Star. Okay, as much as we all criticize Rob Manfred and the commissioner's office and all the stuff they do, most of the stuff we don't like, and then we end up liking like the DH last year. Remember last year? Oh, no, we don't want a DH. And then this year, what? Where's my DH? Give it back to me. So what? Do you want the DH or you don't want the DH? You know one thing I love? I love the seven innings. The seven-inning doubleheaders makes the game. I mean, I love nine, but if you're going to have two, make it seven. It goes so fast. It's a lot more exciting, I think, when you have a short game because you need to score and score early. Because if you don't, then when you try to catch up in the eighth inning, guess what? No, it's not the eighth inning anymore. It's the first inning of the second game. And what I did, you know, I was looking at the draft.
Yeah.
The whole future games on Sunday, and I am very excited for the 10th round pick for the St. Louis Cardinals with the number 301. The 301 pick, a guy by the name of Antonio Oscar Tobalín. This guy was born in Chula Vista, California, but he has played all of his life where? In Tijuana, Mexico.
Ah.
His family, they are legends in Tijuana, where I'm from. His grandpa, his dad, his brother. His brother, he is a really good pitcher right now playing in the Mexican League. He is a lefty. He is kind of a lefty version of Giovanni Gallegos.
Oh, okay.
Obviously playing in the Mexican League. So any Cardinal scouts, I have the numbers. And again, go look for that guy. So I'm very excited for him. Obviously, you know, 301 pick. He's out of college, so he's a little older. So if he makes it, it's going to be in the next 2-3 years, maybe 4 years. You know, no. No waiting with the high school thing. So I got excited back then.
That's cool.
And the Home Run Derby. The Home Run Derby, we were all looking for Otani. And I think even though he got kicked out into the first round, I believe that was very exciting and basically set it up for Pete Alonso to do his thing again. And I loved it. And the game, to me, sometimes the game is kind of a letdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, it's a game. You know, it's a game now. It's a game. All the excitement. Yeah, you know. You want to see this and that, and Fox trying to do different things with microphones, and I think it's a little dangerous when a player is actually talking or having somebody talk to him, and then the pitch is coming and the hit is coming. I think it's a little dangerous, but I'm pretty sure some, you know, the lawyers and all that, they sign off of waivers and things like that. But hey, we're ready. We're ready to go. Hopefully, the second part of the season starts Friday for the Cardinals. It's a better part of the season for the Cardinals. And like everybody tells me, you know, even in Tijuana, where I was this weekend, when I was visiting my mom and I went to a couple games down in Mexico, in Tijuana, and people, yeah, you know, the Cardinals, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's going to be a climb. But people told me in TJ, hey, don't forget, the Cardinals are historically a second half team. So let's say this second half is also historical.
No, you're right. I mean, it's been that way. It was that way in 2019. They were in a very similar place. at the All-Star break in 2019 as they are right now. I think the big thing, Polo, is going to be being healthy, right? I mean, you know, I know Mo mentioned this past weekend with Tom Ackerman that they're kind of hopeful about Flaherty and Michaelis getting back sometime early in August. So the sooner the better on that, because I do think that once the rotation is stable and ideally healthy, that's going to be the key to making a run, I think.
You can say this for every single team, Kevin. If they were healthy, yeah. Every team has injuries, right? But our injuries, where our roster was limited, right? We had our eight guys, and then our starting pitchers, and our three or four bullpen keys, and then the rest of the bullpen. But when those key position players get hurt, like O'Neill, yeah, like Bader, yeah, like DeJong, that's the stuff that, like Yadi, you know, even playing home with being on the IL. And then you go to the rotation. Yeah, at the beginning, you know, we're going to have Flaherty. We're going to have Waino back. And Kim, what Kim is going to be? Carlos Martinez. I was going to have Carlos Martinez, Nicolas, all those guys. And all of a sudden, I think the only one who's been healthy all season is Wainwright. Other than that, every other starting pitcher has been on the IL.
Yeah,
and that's a recipe for disaster or for a very long season. Look, the ambulance just heard me about talking about the Cardinals. Hey, wait, somebody else got hurt? Like, no, keep going. Nobody else got hurt around here. But let's hope. I think I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I'm pretty sure people have heard this. How many games have we had where the Cardinals have from 1 to 8 their projected starting lineup?
Oh, not many. No,
not many. You know, so let's hope, man. Let's really hope. I know the Brewers, you know, they had a really crazy run. Hopefully that run, that's it for them. And we started our very own run this weekend against a very tough San Francisco Giants team, and then the Cubs. You know, let's take at least two from the Giants, and heck, let's sweep the Cubs and kick them out of their misery and propel us to the next chapter, you know?
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, it's funny because each of the teams in the division so far have had that big run, right? I mean, the Cardinals' month of May was fantastic. I mean, they had a point where you had the best record in the National League. You were at first place. And then it kind of, obviously, injuries started and it fell off for a little bit. The Cubs had their big run, right? They swept the Cardinals. They got all excited. People were talking about, you know, maybe adding players instead of trading people away. And then they went into the tank. So what we need is Milwaukee to do that too. They got to have their month where they stink, and then we can level this playing field a little bit.
That would be great. You know, talking about the Cubs, when the Cubs had the run and then they no-hit the Dodgers, everybody in San Luis, I mean, in Chicago, Wrigleyville, they're like, hey, let's get ready for the parade. We just beat the Dodgers. We no-hit the Dodgers. What happened next? The Cubs lose like 9-10 in a row, and then the Dodgers win 8 or 9 in a row. So hey, this is saying that I usually, you know, I like to say, and this was said to me by the great Manny Mota, one of the greatest pitch hitters of all time. And he used to tell me, Polo, baseball is so weird that the baseball is round and it comes inside a square box. That is how weird baseball is. It makes no sense at all. So let's hope the second half is a lot better for the Cardinals. Nothing, you know, I'm not wishing ill will or sending ill will to any other team. But yeah, let's hope that the Brewers stumble here and there, and let's have a fun September. I mean, there's nothing worse for a baseball fan than going to September knowing that your team has no chance.
Right.
If your team has a chance in September, it should be a lot of fun, and September should be a fun month for the Cardinals. Yes. I know August is first, my birthday month, just because we're 1-7, and then the end of July. But I hope, and I think September is going to be another fun month in St. Louis with the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's funny that the way that the season plays, I mean, it's hard because you experience the game on a day-by-day basis, right? So, you know, as a fan, you can ride the wave a little bit. You get excited when things are good. You get down when things are bad. But really, the game is that long stretch, and I think players are really good at keeping that into perspective. I know it's hard, but, you know, when you have a bad day, all right, well, you have tomorrow to have a good day. And, you know, they get kind of focused on the preparation and the work and the grind that it is, where everybody else, like all of us on the outside, we look at it, we kind of ride the results, I think, more than they do.
The players get ready for everything. They get ready for their peaks and the valleys. Because they know with 162 seasons, they hope to stay healthy, first of all. That's the main goal, stay healthy the whole year. And they know they're going to get in slumps. Every single hitter out there hits a slump. I don't care who you are. You could be Shohei Ohtani, Vladimir Guerrero, Tommy Edman, anybody. You are going to hit slumps. So let's make sure those slumps are not 7, 8, 10, 15 games. And that is the problem that has been with this Cardinal team.
Yeah.
We have not had a lot of complete games, meaning good pitching, good hitting. We either have good pitching or we either have good hitting. And that is going to be hard to achieve. The goal is going to be hard to achieve if you don't put together complete games from the 1 to the 26, including the manager and the coaches, when they'll have great games. Once we do that, and we know we can do this, because we have future Hall of Famers in our team, at least from afar right now,
yeah.
I see at least two. I see our catcher and our third baseman. Our first baseman, maybe,
yep.
he keeps hitting and doing things. And our pitching, yeah, Jack Flaherty could be one of those guys. I know Wainwright, you know, he's done great things, but I don't know if he has those numbers to be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the Cardinals Hall of Fame for sure,
yeah.
But not in the Cooperstown Hall of Fame, I don't think. But hopefully. Who knows? We never know.
Yeah.
But that's what we need, man. That's what we need. We need the team to play together, to play focused, and going back to the question or the comment you were making, knowing that the valleys are gone. The valleys are past, and from here on out, we just go up and up and up and end up in October, because there's nothing more exciting than baseball, than October baseball in St. Louis. And I can say that because I've been in San Diego, I've been in L.A., I've been in Atlanta, I've been in Washington when the Washington Nationals beat us. It was fun and everything for them, but still, there was something missing. It was like, okay, you guys are here right now. But next season, if something goes wrong, you're not going to be here. And one thing that I have learned over the last 5-6 years that I've been doing Cardinals baseball, the Cardinal fans are there. And yes, they will be screaming. They'll be kicking. They'll be, you know, showing, you know, their favorite finger in their hand and screaming at everybody. But at the end, they do it because they care. If you don't care about Cardinal baseball, then you're not complaining. And if you're not complaining about Cardinal baseball, then you have no place in Cardinal Nation. So everybody who's complaining, believe me, the team is listening. Everybody's listening. Hopefully, those yells and the screams about "Come on, guys!" turns in like, "Yeah, that's it. Let's go. Let's keep going, guys." And I still believe we have plenty of time to come back and to do something special this season. I mean, it's not going to be a wasted season for Arenado, for Goldschmidt, for Yadi, for Wainwright, for all the guys that we have. It's not going to be a wasted season. I do believe that at the end, we're going to be talking about the Cardinals at least making it very, very interesting at the end to get to the playoffs.
Polo, it's great catching up, buddy. I appreciate your work so much. You and Benji do a great job. And on top of that, you guys are just great fun guys to talk ball with, and I really appreciate that.
Man. We do a great job. You know, I'm not going to be humble. No, we do. We have a lot of fun. We do have the best Spanish broadcast. I don't care what anybody else say. I'm going to say it. If my mom says it, Kevin, I believe it. And my mom says, mijo, tú eres el mejor de todos. I'm like, sí, mamá, I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, as Bret the Hitman Hart used to say.
Great stuff, man. Well, you can't go wrong with mom, right? You always listen to mom. So
never.
Gotta
never
get that.
Always.
All right, you be good. Safe travels, my friend. Hopefully we'll see you at the ballpark this weekend.
Yes, please come over visit, man.
See you, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got it. Polo Asensio with us, of course. He's got the Spanish language broadcast with Benji Molina on 880 AM. That's La Tremenda. You can catch them on that side, obviously. You know, they're just fun dudes to talk. I mean, he and Benji have so much fun and so much passion. They're just two of the fun guys to talk baseball with, and you can hear that. I mean, I can't talk with Polo for more than a few minutes without starting to laugh, because the energy's there and he's funny and he brings a lot of that same energy to the broadcast. I like I said, though, I wish I had more Spanish because I could enjoy it a little bit more. I've got a little bit, right? Like, you know, my second major in college, and I took in high school, I took 8 years of French. I took graduate level college French stuff. So, I mean, like, reading and understanding some of the words are about the same. So it's not that hard, but you know, pronunciations are a little different, and it's, you know, when people talk in their normal, you know, their native language, like when I speak English, I speak a lot faster than I do when I speak in French, when I got to think it out and I got to go through it. And I just wish I had done a little bit more, because all the Spanish I picked up was in college from my teammates, and it's all baseball stuff. You know, I mean, it's just nothing, you know, cambio fuera, you know, change up away. Let's get it right. You know, I mean, like, that's the stuff that I have. I don't have enough to keep up with Benji and Polo, but they're awesome guys. I appreciate the fact that they could jump on and talk a little ball with us. All right, stick around. I want to talk a little bit more about the second half of the season. We can pick up on some of the things that Polo and I were just talking about with the Cardinals. You got a big run to start things in the second half. You got three against the Giants. You got four against the Cubs. You got a seven-game homestand. What can we look for? What are some of the keys to get the second half off to a good start? I think Polo's right. I think when I talked to Benji last time, he was right. Like, you've got the core of guys that can do what you need them to do. So what's the key? What needs to be different after the break than before, aside from health, because we know that. We'll talk a bit about that next here on KMOX. Hi, you're back in on KMOX, talking a little Cards baseball as we get ready for a seven-game homestand to start the second half. I know it's not the mathematical second half, but it's the symbolic second half of the season, right? Once the All-Star break is over, we are, quote, second half. I know it's more than halfway mathematically, but that doesn't matter. All right, so we're a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline, and, you know, we're looking at the second half of the season. And I mentioned this with Polo a few minutes ago, but, you know, if you go back to 2019, the Cardinals' first game out of the All-Star break, they lost to the Diamondbacks, and that put them at 44-45 on the season. And they won 91 games that year and won the division. And, you know, again, had a really strong second half run. Now, again, different circumstances, we all know, right? I mean, Jack Flaherty was healthy and killing it that year. You know, they were a healthier team, but they also, I think, have more, don't you guys think, have a little more offensive upside? I don't mean that it's been there, because it hasn't been, but I think there's more offensive upside than there was in 2019, simply with the presence of Nolan Arenado, with Goldschmidt trending in the right direction after a bad month of April. If you look at his May and June numbers and what he's done in July so far, I mean, Goldie's been Goldie now for more than 2 months. Obviously, you need those kind of things to continue, but you're in a spot where you're not far off of where you were in 2019 when it comes to your place in the standings, when it comes to your one-loss record. I mean, you're literally one game worse than you were at this time 2 years ago when you did win the division and make the playoffs. Now, Cardinals won six of the next seven games after that. I think, you know, they were at 44-45 on July 12th. By July 26th, they were 56-47. So, you know, you went on a 12-2 run there. And something like that's probably going to be necessary at some point. Now, keep in mind, not long after that, they went on another run where they lost a bunch of games, right? I mean, again, I said they were 56-47. Go another week and a half later, they were 58-55. So, you know, you went 2-8 in the next stretch. So they were up and down still there. So again, basically the middle of August, you were not in a great position, but the end of August was really good. September was really good until the final few days when they struggled. But again, end up winning the division. Now, I know it's a different circumstance in the division, right? The Milwaukee Brewers are out, and they're off to a hot, you know, they've been on a hot stretch. I do think they're going to level off. I don't know how much, though. I think we have to focus more on what the Cardinals are going to be able to do and are going to have to do better than what we can expect from Milwaukee in terms of coming back to earth. I think they will. But it doesn't mean it's going to be as dramatic, for example, as what happened with the Cardinals and the Cubs, and they're coming back to earth after their hot stretches. Aside from staying healthy and or getting healthy, because you can't predict or forecast that, and it's super obvious, right? I mean, you want to get guys back and not lose anybody else. Duh. Aside from health, I think the two things that are going to be critical to watch, one will be the team's on-base percentage. You know, right now, on-base percentage is not a strength of the team, and that is definitely one of the most important stats when it comes to generating offense, whether you're talking about individuals or talking about teams. On-base percentage, right? I mean, guys on base is what leads to guys crossing home plate. If you're not getting on base, I mean, you can't score, barring a home run. And again, that's a percentage. Home runs are a relatively small percentage of any team's offense. And I think that this team has some more guys that can improve. But your on base percentage at the All-Star break is last in the National League. But you're not that far from getting to the middle of the pack. It's not like you're, 30 points away from being middle of the pack. And again, I don't think they need to be elite in that regard. But they're going to need more from, for example, Tommy Edman in that particular category. Now, with Tommy, his on-base percentage is largely tied to his batting average. So you're going to need him to start swinging a hot bat because he's not a guy that walks a lot. That's okay. But the batting average is going to have to shoot up a little bit because you're going to need more on base from him. It's going in the right direction for Goldie. I mean, his on-base percentage is below his career numbers, but it's higher. I mean, again, most of his numbers right now are dragged down by the month of April. May, June, July have all been perfectly fine for him. But you're going to need a little bit more on base from like literally everybody in the order. But even Paul DeJong, who's not an on-base percentage guy, generally speaking, because he's a lower batting average guy, he can knock that OBP up from 286. He can get that into the 300s. It's not going to be, though, a dramatic change. It's not, you're not going to see guys go from, 290, 300 type on base to like 350 on base. Like, you don't get that dramatic a change. But if each guy can be a little bit better in that regard, then you're going to have more opportunities to score runs. And I do think that, when you, for example, you just look at the last couple of seasons, right? I mentioned it's last in the National League. The Cardinals on base percentage right now is 301 as a team. When you compare that to last year in the short season, their on base percentage was 323. It's a pretty big difference. And it's largely the same guys. Now, there was one big change in that. I mean, Colton Wong was a big-time on-base guy last year. 350 on-base would lead the team right now. It was second or third on the team last year, but it would lead the team right now. The leader last year was Paul Goldschmidt at over 400. Now, that was a short season, right? That was, who knows what we can really draw out of that. But you go back to 2019, Cardinals team on-base percentage was 324. So the last 2 years, pretty consistently right around that number. And if that number can be that, not necessarily at the end of the year, because I don't know that you're going to make up enough ground to bring your season total to that. What I'm saying is if your on-base percentage from Friday until the end of September can be in that 320 range, it's going to make a huge difference with offensive consistency. You're going to be able to have more offensive output on a regular basis rather than big outbursts and then, some quiet periods. That's, to me, the number one thing on the offensive side is not everybody making a dramatic change, but everybody being a little bit better in that regard and just being the on-base team that you were the last 2 years. We'll talk about the pitching side next here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, so looking ahead to the second half, I know I'm being general and not super specific, but it's hard to be super specific when it comes to talking about team-wide things that need to be better. And you can tell, I was talking about the offense last segment, and I think that one of the key indicators for whether or not they'll be more consistent and win more games will be the on-base percentage. And again, not that the season total will rise to the top of the league, but that from Friday until the end of the year, till the end of September, the on-base percentage being something close to what it was in 2019-2020, I think would go a long way toward establishing some consistency and getting you on a positive path. And on that same note, I mean, you can see where I'm going with this. On the same note, on the pitching side, I really do think that the difference is going to be on walks. Like reducing the opponent on-base percentage, right? I think that it's gotten better in recent weeks. It's not been as crazy as it was. And I think that's a positive development. I do think, getting to the point, hopefully at some time here in the not too distant future, where you got more of your guys back can make a difference in that regard. But you're still last in the league in walks. And I think if they, again, you're not, I'm not worried about where they rank season-wide at the end of the year. What I'm talking about is what you are from Friday until the end of the regular season. If you can just get back to being something close to the league average in terms of allowing free base runners, again, I think it's going to make a huge difference. It may be a lot to ask. I mean, some of the guys, you know, do have historical walk issues. And some of them get by with it. You know, relievers tend to get away with it a little bit more than starters, for example. I mean, Alex Reyes' walk rate is crazy high, but he doesn't give up any hits, and he strikes a lot of people out. So he's in a spot working one inning at a time where he'll be able to work around that because of the swing and miss factor and because he doesn't give up hits. It's a little tougher for some of the guys that don't get as many swings and misses as he does. So, I mean, to me, that's it. Can you get on base more? And can you limit base runners on the other side? And that's the most obvious thing in the world, right? And it's totally achievable because you have players that have done both of those things. So this gets back to kind of the theme, right? If you want to tie it all together, is guys being what it says they are on the back of their baseball card. You know, the people getting to their career norms and staying there for the next 2.5 months. Hopefully there's an opportunity to add some pieces before the trade deadline. I wouldn't anticipate any blockbuster. I'm not sure it's out there, number one. Number two, I'm not sure you want to pay the cost of your best prospects because they're close and you're going to need them. You're going to need Libertor. You're going to need Gorman. And, you know, obviously I don't think you want to trade Jordan Walker at this point. It's a bit early and he's looking like a monster. So maybe there is something, though, that more closely looks like what 2011's trade deadline looked like when you're adding making a deal or two that bring in a bunch of helpful pieces rather than one big piece. Maybe that's a path that can be explored as we get closer to the deadline, but certainly a big deal in that regard. I wanted to spend like a minute talking about something else that was from the weekend, and because it echoes something that I talked about a week or two ago here on the show. And Rob Manfred talked about the labor negotiations, and he said this weekend that he believes that there will be no work stoppage. And I referenced a piece from Jeff Passan recently who talked to agents, front office people, league officials, and they said the same thing. So I just wanted to point that out. Like, we have a lot of people that are worried about gloom and doom, and look, it's going to be ugly. They're going to argue with each other. It's going to sound ridiculous and stupid at times. But I don't think we're going to miss games next year because of what they missed during 2020. I do think that the financial losses from the COVID season will encourage both sides to get it done without missing games. It doesn't mean that spring training will start on time or that it's going to be a normal offseason or anything, but I don't think we're going to miss games next year. There's too much of a financial incentive for both sides to get something right and get it done without having an embarrassing work stoppage. All right, hey, you guys have a great one. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night. We got baseball back on Friday here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.